Please take your Bibles and open them to John chapter 9. I know your bulletin says 1 Corinthians, so we're going to just test you, see if you can find John. John chapter 9. I'll confess, I preached all week at Peoria Rescue Mission, had a wonderful time there. And I actually preached John chapter 9 and only got a partway through my sermon with them. So I thought I was going to put another stab at it for two reasons. Two reasons. One, I actually want to try to preach the whole sermon. So I'm going to see if I can get it to you today. But two, I think as I was preaching this, I'm thinking in my head, man, I think Tremont Baptist could be helped by this. And I really think this will be helpful to you today. I want to talk about a blind man who encounters Jesus. You know, we've been singing this morning about, there's within my heart a melody, and he keeps me singing, and all these wonderful things. And man, I feel uplifted. You know, heaven came down and glory filled my soul. I love singing those songs. I'm going to be humming them all week now, and I just feel encouraged. But you know what? Sometimes I don't feel much like singing. Sometimes things get tough. Things get difficult. There are trials and tribulations and troubles all along the way. And I want to think this morning about how we face these difficulties. I want to think about some suffering. There's an old hymn, and had I known I was going to preach this morning, we would have sung the hymn, but maybe you know it from years gone by. Does Jesus care when my heart is pained too deeply for mirth or song, as the burdens press and the cares distress and the way grows weary and long? You remember singing that? Anybody? No, nobody? Okay, a few of you do. Some of you do, yeah. That's a question many of us struggle with. Does Jesus care? I know, because we're good, faithful Christians. We say, oh, yes, He cares. But in the back of our minds, as we're going through what we go through, sometimes we ask, does He really care? Let's think about this morning. John chapter 9. Would you stand? We're going to read verses 1 through 5, and we're just going to work our way through the text as we have time. John 9, verse 1. As He, Jesus, went along, He saw a blind man from birth. His disciples asked Him, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Neither this man nor his parents sinned, said Jesus, but this happened so that the work of God might be displayed in his life. As long as it is day, we must do the work of Him who sent me. Night is coming when no one can work. While I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Heavenly Father, thank You for giving to us Your Word. Give us ears to hear it. Give us the faith to believe it. And may Your Spirit apply it to our lives so that we would be transformed by the Word. I pray that You would meet the needs that each of us have today by Your grace and for Your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. I want to consider a question about suffering, and it's posed by the disciples here. Rabbi, teacher, who sinned? Whose fault is this? There's this blind man sitting there at the corner of the street. Probably been sitting there most of his life, waiting for people to pass by to show him some pity, show him some kindness, give him some assistance. He's sitting there, and the disciples see him, and they ask a question. Why is he blind? Whose fault is it? Is it something that he did? Because in Jewish thinking at the time, it was believed that if you were in the womb, you could sin, you could blaspheme God, and thereby face God's judgment, even while in the womb. Or, if something bad had happened to you, maybe it was the fault of your parents and you are paying for their sins. They have this fundamental misunderstanding of the cause of suffering. Who sinned? Whose fault is it? And sometimes when we are suffering, we do feel like, oh, what did I do? Now, let's Let's understand what the Bible says in general about suffering and pain. Some suffering, no doubt, is the natural result of sinful choices. Proverbs 30:33 says, as the churning of milk produces butter and the twisting of a nose produces blood, so stirring up anger produces strife. Proverbs is all about the consequences of our choices and actions. And we have to admit freely the inescapable truth that some things that you do have natural consequences, and those are bad consequences. All right? You break the law, you get caught, you pay the price. You smoke 2 packs of cigarettes a day, don't be surprised when the doctor says you have lung cancer. It's just the natural course. Some of our suffering is the result of our bad choices. But some suffering is not the result of a particular bad choice that you've made or a sin that you've committed. It's just simply the result of living in a fallen and broken world. Kid diagnosed with cancer, or a tornado rips through town, or a mudslide happens. We live in a world that's fallen. Genesis 3, Adam and Eve sinned, and God said, Eve, you're going to suffer pain in childbirth. Adam, the ground is cursed because of you. And so you have two spheres. You have the relational sphere that's messed up because of sin. Then you have the natural sphere, the world sphere that's messed up because of sin. And because everything is deformed and defaced and corrupted because of sin, bad things happen. And that's why, yes, there are even some people who are born blind. The disciples assumed that this blind man sinned or his parents had sinned. And Jesus says, no, it's not that either one of them sinned. Verse 3, neither this man nor his parents sinned. They're not suffering the consequences of a sinful choice. Suffering in this life is not always punishment. Now, sometimes it is. We need to exercise discernment. Sometimes suffering is the consequences of your evil actions, and you have to own up to that. If you were to go down to the county lockup and you were to interview inmates, many of them are going to start pointing fingers. Well, it's that other person that I got in a fight with. He started it. It's that arresting officer. It's his fault. It's my parents' fault. It's them or their. I'm innocent. It's everybody else. There'll be people who do that. Of course, there are some innocent people who end up in jail. No doubt about that. But we have to step back and we have to ask ourselves, am I suffering because of my choices? My sin? Own up to it. But sometimes our suffering is simply the result of living in this fallen world. And so where is God in all of this? Does Jesus care? Jesus says, verse 3, neither this man nor his parents sinned, but this happened so that the work of God might be displayed in his life. God has a plan and a purpose in your pain. God is working to accomplish something even in your suffering. And Jesus says the ultimate purpose of all of our pain, all of our suffering, is to display the work of God in our lives. You and I need to understand our fundamental problem, our core problem. It is not education. It is not economics. It is not genetic. Our core problem is sin. And our sin separates us from God. Our greatest need is to be reconciled to God. And so God is at work in all of our lives and in all of history to reconcile, to gather back a wayward people and bring them to Himself. Our greatest need is to know God and to walk closely with Him. But if left on our own, we would not choose God. That's why Jesus says it's hard for the rich to enter the kingdom of heaven. When you're rich, you have a way of medicating your pain. Money does a lot to make life comfortable, right? It doesn't. Money goes a long way to smoothing out the rough edges of life. And when you can smooth out, when you can do a lot to ignore the pain and the misery in your life, when you can put the narcotics of worldly comfort into your life, you can ignore those warning signs. A lot of people take spiritual Tylenol in the form of entertainment or diversion so that they can ignore the warning sign or the pain that they're suffering. You see, God's purpose and pain is to get your attention and call your attention to Him. And C.S. Lewis, who wrote the Chronicles of Narnia books, he wrote Mere Christianity, he also wrote another book called The Problem of Pain. And maybe the most important line, the most important couple of sentences in that book is this. Lewis writes, "Pain insists upon being attended to." You know that's true, right? Something hurts you, like, ouch. You jerk back. You protect it. You try to stop it. I did something to my neck this week, and I pulled something or twisted something. I don't know. And I was just miserable last night, and so I'm pulling the old person cream out, and Sarah's like, smearing it on the back for me, you know, trying to, so I can alleviate that pain. I'm trying to stop that. Pain insists upon being attended to. I had a little splinter in my knuckle, just a tiny little thing. Sarah, come fix me. I'd be a mess without Sarah, don't you know? Be terrible, you know. I want it addressed, and that's what happens in your life. Pain insists upon being attended to. And Lewis goes on to say, God whispers to us in our pleasure. He whispers to us in our pleasure. He speaks in our conscience, but shouts in our pain. Pain is His megaphone to rouse a deaf world. God is using the pain that you are experiencing in your life to get your attention, because your greatest need is not to have a comfortable life here and now, but to know God and be His child and have a relationship with Him through faith. So if you're not a Christian this morning, God is trying to shout to you in your pain. He is trying to get your attention so that your truest and deepest problems might be resolved. Either the pain of the natural consequences of your sinful choices, or simply the pain of living in a fallen world. God's using both of it to try to get you to turn to Him and pay attention to Him. Your sin problem and your need for salvation is what God is trying to get your attention to. You know, sometimes we go to the doctor's office and we have this minor issue. And maybe this has happened to you in your life. Maybe you've gone to the doctor's office and you said, "Hey, doctor, I got this little problem. Can you fix this?" And the doctor starts poking and prodding and he says, "Hmm." You always feel bad when the doctor says, "Hmm." And he keeps poking and prodding and he runs some tests and some scans and he says, "You know what? You've got a more serious problem than you thought." You know, you go in and you say, "I got a little heartburn. I can't get rid of it." And the doctor comes in and says, "Hmm. Let me look," and puts the scope down and says, "You know what? You've got a big hole right there. You've got a hernia. You got to get that fixed, because it's not just eating the Mexican food that's messing you up. You've got something is broken inside of you, and we got to fix it." And that's what God is trying to do with your pain. He's trying to get your attention so that that can be addressed. And if you ignore God in your pain, you're doing so at your peril. If you're suffering right now, it's good news, because God is at work in your life to draw you to Himself. He's trying to get your attention before it's eternally too late. But what if you're already a Christian? What if you have already put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ? Why is God allowing you to suffer? Why does God let you experience pain? The answer is, if you are a Christian, God allows you to suffer to test or prove the genuineness of your faith. it is through our pain and suffering that we grow stronger. Because remember, pain is God's megaphone to speak into our lives. Pain is what drives us to God. Just as much as it drove me to Sarah to say, Sarah, do something to fix this pain in my neck. Pain, on an existential level, drives us to God so that we put more faith in God, we put more trust in God, and we rely more heavily upon the Lord. 1 Peter 1, 6 and 7 says, in this you rejoice, though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been grieved by various trials, so that the tested genuineness of your faith, more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. What Peter's writing there is saying, look, your faith is being tested. This pain, this suffering that you're going through is testing you, it's challenging you, and it's proving the genuineness of your faith. It's purifying your faith. It's strengthening your faith. Trials and troubles, pains and problems in your life as a Christian is like going through physical therapy. How many of you have had physical therapy before? How many of you thought that was just the greatest experience in your life? Yeah. How many of you thought that when you were going through it? No. You go in and they start making you stretch and reach and pull and push and it hurts. You don't want to do it, but you know, but the people who know understand that if I don't do this, I'm not going to walk again. I'm not going to be able to use my hands the way that I did. I'm not going to be able to have the mobility or the function that I used to have. If I don't do this thing, this knee replacement surgery is going to do me no good. So I have to suffer through that because it makes me stronger. The same is true in your Christian life. It makes you stronger to go through that pain when you trust in the Lord and you rely upon Him. There's another reason, if you're a Christian, that God is allowing you to go through suffering. It's not only to make you stronger in your faith so that you give more praise, more glory, more honor to the Lord, but God is allowing you to suffer so that you can help others who are suffering. 2 Corinthians 1, 3 through 6, Paul writes, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our affliction so that we may be able to comfort those who are in any affliction with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. For as we share abundantly in Christ's sufferings, so through Christ we share abundantly in comfort too. If we are afflicted, it is for your comfort and salvation. And if we are comforted, it is for your comfort, which you experience when you patiently endure the same suffering that we suffer. God will allow you to experience pain, not only to strengthen your faith, but so that you can be a servant and a blessing and a help to others who are undergoing pain and suffering in their lives. God is at work allowing you to experience those painful things that you experience so that you can come alongside someone else and help them grow and walk in their faith. Some of you who've experienced horrible things in your life are better equipped to help other people going through something very similar than I am because I've never experienced it. Years ago, I had a dear friend named Marilyn. I think I've told you about Marilyn before. She came home from work and she found her husband lying on the kitchen floor. He'd taken his own life. There's a certain cultural stigma to suicide. It is a horrible, terrible thing. And Marilyn was ashamed and embarrassed and hurting. Not only did she lose her husband of many years, but to lose her husband in this particular way, she felt lost. One day Marilyn came into my office and she said, Pastor, I know this is a terrible thing, but there are a lot of other people who are hurting out there. And I've decided I'm not going to let this keep me from helping others. Marilyn became the most effective grief counselor I'd ever met. She was able to touch the lives of people who nobody else could touch. Nobody else could help because she understood the pain. She understood the shame. She understood the heartbreak. And because she found strength in the Lord, God allowed her to experience this heartbreak in her life. She leaned on the Lord. She drew close to the Lord instead of pulling away. She grew stronger. And as a result of growing stronger, she was able to go out and help other people. That's what God wants to do in your life. Listen, too many times we get bitter. We get angry at God and we want to shake our fist at God. And I'm not saying it doesn't hurt. And I'm not saying we would undo it if we could. But God wants to use the pain and the suffering that you've gone through in order to help other people. Because remember, what's our greatest need? Our greatest need is not to live a comfortable, successful life in this world. Our greatest need is to know Christ, to have a relationship with Him, to have a home in heaven, to be a child of God, and to grow in our faith in Him. Because that is our ultimate purpose. That's our ultimate meaning. And we can't do it by ourselves. We need each other. So by helping one another, we're able to comfort others and help them grow. Regardless of what's going on in our lives, regardless of what we're facing, Paul reminds us in 2 Corinthians that God's grace is sufficient for us. It's what we need. And God gives you grace upon grace for whatever you face. Well, I didn't finish everything I had to say, so we'll have to try it again some other time. But I hope that you've been helped. Let's pray. Thank you, Father, for your grace. Thank you for loving us enough to shout to us in pain to get our attention. Thank you, Father, for being with us, giving us grace to endure. And Father, as you bless us and help us through our pain, may we become the instruments of your peace, the instruments of your mercy in the lives of other people, sharing the love and hope that we found in Christ with others who are suffering. Father, help us not to waste our pain, but to put it to good use. And this morning, if there's anyone who's suffering, I pray that you would affirm in their hearts your absolute love for them. And though we don't always understand and we can't always see, help us to always trust, knowing you work all things together for good. Father, the things that happen in our lives happen so that the work of God might be displayed in us. Help us to see your work and give us the faith to trust that you are always working until you complete what you started in us. In Jesus' name, amen.